This is the last talk. Tomorrow there's a talk also in the morning as part of the Sunday morning program. And since what we're celebrating is Buddha's death day, I thought I would talk about that tomorrow. We mentioned it a little bit sometime this week. It's not called the death day, it's called the parinirvana, meaning he transcended this life. We've been sitting very hard this week. You who've been so fortunate to be able to stay for the whole week have not only been so fortunate, but have used your good fortune in such a very fine, very, very fine way. There are many ways of taking this practice. It usually starts out being something that we want to use in some way to improve our life. And that's a good way to start as any. And we find out fairly soon that it isn't exactly like that. But that's the way we start very often. But once we begin to get deeply involved, it becomes a very serious matter. And to stick with that serious matter and be there with it with so much good faith and such a stalwart way is the best. It's the very best. And it's why we offer this space, in order for people to have the opportunity to experience this in this way. This is originated as a teaching temple. So it's still set up as a place for people to experience what Zen means. It isn't a place for American Zen so much as it is the Zen that Koban brought to America. Some people think Koban was just an off-the-wall kind of a fun guy who said, okay, anything goes, and make it all up. But the truth is, he was absolutely particular about the forms and made very, very sure that we learned exactly how to do oryoki and service and zendo life. He was very, very particular. So around that, there was a flow of good feeling and a kind of free feeling. He had a good time sometimes. And there was this sense that he was our friend. He said, I don't want to be your teacher. I want to be your friend. Remember? Yes, he'd take us to town. So it can look like the practice here at Jikoji is kind of a free-flowing thing. It's meant to be a place to show what Koban thought was important, and to allow that to be that it speaks it in ways that otherwise we would not know. You can't talk some things, you have to experience it. You have to experience the rice in the bowl. You have to experience the way of things. I didn't really realize this until I went to AHG the first time. AHG is like going to Rome. It's started out as Dogen's little hut in the mountains, way deep in the mountains, and a very, very plain and austere practice that he had with his monks there. And now it's huge, and it's very, very fancy, and people come from all over the world to be there just to view it. It's like going to a museum. Busloads come starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. Buses pull up. People get out with little flags, so they follow the leader all the way through, and they do the whole thing like we see in so many places. But there is because so many have come and wanted to practice there, created a place for ordinary people to practice. So then they send people from corporations. They say, I think this group needs a break. Let's send them to AHG and they can sit for a week. So these guys all come, and women, and they are taught how to sit exactly like we do, sitting facing the wall, and it's beautifully set up for us, with the tons and no zabutan. You just put your knees on the mat, on the hard mat, nothing soft. It's very strict, but it's very cool. And I began to see what Komen was meaning in the way that he brought it to us. And of course, there's so much folderol that goes with it. There's a lot of folderol that I think Komen just sorted out the simplicity of it, the part that Dogen Zenji always emphasized, the elegant simplicity, he called it sometimes, and the folderol. And that's what we have tried to create here as a place for that kind of elegant simplicity. And of course, it plunges into simplicity, or clumsy simplicity, you could say, or anything goes simplicity, and that isn't really the point. We can live like that anywhere. This is not anywhere. This is a place with a very, very deep, long history, going back thousands of years. Here is something that Dogen said. This is good for the last day. Dropping off body and mind is good practice. Make a vigorous effort to pierce your nostrils. I guess that's a fierce way of talking about pierce your nostrils. Karmic consciousness is endless, with nothing fundamental to rely on, including not others, not self, not sentient beings, and not causes and conditions. This is alarming, but it's the truth. It's the way of it. We would like to think there is something to hold on to, something that we can rely on, that will stay the same for us. and nothing does. Nothing. So the way that we live our life, the way we navigate our way through this insecure way, is really, really important, because we can make up endless number of stories about how it's supposed to be and create visions for ourselves of how we are going to do this and do that and save the world in this way and that way, while all along we are just right where we are. As someone said, as you're walking meditation, you're just there with every step. You're not going anywhere. Just right here. So sitting for a long, long time like we've been doing, we get to a point where it feels like we've been climbing a pole for a long time. Climbing, 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 and then sometimes we get to the top of the pole. Then what? What do you do at the top of the pole? You step right off. So this is one way of talking about how this can be. A couple of monks were talking, and one of them asked the other, "What do you think it's like, this practice?" And the answer was, "Oh, I think it's like a donkey looking in a well." And his friend laughed, and he said, "Yeah, it's just like a donkey looking in a well." But he said, "You know what? It's also like a well looking at the donkey." Very important point. We're going to go home. We're going home to what seems like a lot of chaos and commotion and disappointment and complete bewilderment. We always bring with us, every time we get up in the morning and look around, we have a question. What is this, and what is it going to do today? One of the secrets to a good life is to approach it with a kind of respect and dignity. We live in an era where there's very little of either one of those, that rudeness is considered to be a proper way of being with people, and that we don't need to carry ourselves in any particular way. And yet, as we were saying just the other day about smiling, just carrying a smile on our face affects everything that gets close to us. It changes the chemical balance of other people's bodies and your own. A smile brings up endorphins and creates happiness. This is one of the mysteries of our life. And it's important to know it and to remember it. So if we have to not live in a monastery, which obviously we don't, we have to go back and drive our cars and do all the very, very busy and important things that we do, the spirit with which we do those things is very important. Respect, as I often say, means look again. Spect is a Latin word. We use it in spectacles, in spectacle, in many different ways. Respect means to spect again. So instead of letting things flash, flash, flash as they go by our vision and our hearing, we stop and see it again. We stop and listen long enough to really get it, whatever it is. Someone is telling us something. Something is being something. And all those somethings are us. It's our life. Right there, right here, just as we are. There is no other life. There is no other place to be. And that makes respect and dignity easy. It's when we're flying off to try to be and do something else that we get a kind of clumsy and messed up. Dogen wrote a chapter in Shobo Genzo called the Genjo Koan. It was one of the first things I ever heard about Dogen's teaching. And the way I was told it was that in Rinzai Zen, there are many koans, like what is the sound of one hand clapping? And does a dog have Buddha nature? All those so apparently complicated questions that you're supposed to wrestle with on your cushion for days and weeks and months and years to find the answer. Though actually it isn't like that. But I didn't know. But what I was told was the Genjo koan was our koan. It was the Soto Zen koan, that we just see that our own life presents plenty of apparently unanswerable questions, and that that's what we get to wrestle with. And when we sit, that's what comes up. When we get out of bed in the morning, that's what comes up. It's our koan. If you read that chapter of Shobo Genzo, it's one of his very best, Dogen's very best writings, and one of his deepest ones. And I won't go into it except to say that it talks about what Buddha is. And one of the things he says is sometimes ordinary life, sometimes Buddha. And he also said, all beings are Buddha. All beings are Buddha nature. But you don't have to know it. You don't have to worry about it. And it's better not to. It's important information because there are people out there who say they are Buddha and they are enlightened. And it cannot be, it's not like that. So it takes a Buddha to know a Buddha. That's the main thing. It takes a Buddha to know a Buddha. So you can trust yourself. You yourself, your own nature knows. So it's a tricky business sometimes living without the kind of support that we imagine that we need. But actually, we manage pretty well. And the stories that we tell about ourselves, they're stories, but that's Buddha nature too. We don't have to erase ourselves and turn ourselves into some kind of pure being in order to be a Zen person or an enlightened person. What we do is practice. Practice being what this is in the wholeness of it, including its foolishness, its mistakes, its complete ignorance in so many ways. We'll never know enough. We'll never understand it. We're just donkeys looking in a well. And a well looking at a donkey. So I'll read you this again because I didn't tell you the whole thing. Dropping off body and mind is good practice. Make a vigorous effort to pierce your nostrils. Karmic consciousness is endless, with nothing fundamental to rely on, including not others, not self, not sentient beings, and not causes and conditions. Although this is so, eating breakfast comes first. Are there any questions?
Seeing at the sesshin is there's a support for me, and I'm kind of seeing some of the ways I have been, say, in the past couple of years, it's a bit less disciplined in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was working with some resistance. I was wondering if you could talk a little about, like, how you sort of have a heartfelt discipline. You know, that you sort of...
I think we always start out as sort of semi-grown-ups with a background of being a child, being told what to do all the time and how to be. And then to get involved in practice can easily turn into feeling like you're being treated like a child and you don't want to be that anymore. And of course, you shouldn't want to be that way anymore. We don't want to. So it takes a little extra attention to realize what it's for. Because as we were describing eating orioki the other day, how beautiful it becomes after you've learned how to do it. Just like learning to play the piano or to waltz. In the beginning, it's clumsy and foolish, and there are very strict rules about how to do it right. And beginner piano players are often very resistant and don't want to do it the right way. You know, you have to hold your hands exactly like this, and a lot of kids don't want to do that. So it's like that for us when we come into a situation where there are ways to do things. We don't want to do it. I mean, who's going to tell me what to do? I know what to do. But if you are willing to enter the realm of practice and learn why there are these things to do instead of not doing it or doing something else, then you begin to hear the music in yourself. It's about finding out what is in you. And the only way to find it is that discipline that teaches you some new way of doing things. And in this case, that has been worked on for thousands of years. So we're doing it with all the ancestors who came before. The thousands and thousands of people who practiced and carried this practice forward. We don't have to do it this way. And often we, in the beginning especially, we don't like it. And a lot of times it hurts. I mean, if we have to keep sitting for 40 whole minutes, it hurts. So it takes a lot of self-discipline and a lot of insight to realize that we can offer this to ourselves. And you can also remind yourself you don't have to do it. Nobody is making you do it. You can walk out at any time. And that gives you the freedom to do it if you're going to do it. Nobody's going to make you one way or the other. So respect that. Respect your resistance. That's a very important aspect of you. You should question everything. It's a very good question. Thank you. Lake?
Can you explain a little more about donkey and the whale for your understanding?
I don't think so. I think that one's up to you. Sorry. Yeah. That's your colon.
Angie?
Yes?
I just wanted to say today when you guys started chanting at lunch, you both, I mean, all of you started in like two pitches, like a perfect fifth, and it was so beautiful. We were leaving, and we were just like, wow, listen to that.
It was a perfect fifth?
Yes.
No kidding.
It sounded so beautiful, and, you know, sometimes you get all kinds of pitches, and even that's interesting, but this was resonating together, and it's like, wow, you know, I don't know if you know that this is all happening.
No, I didn't notice that, but it often happens at the end of, by the end of Sesshin, you also.
It stopped me.
It does.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Maybe that's enough.